Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
On the air.
Well, thank you very, very much for joining us this evening. I am joined by investigative journalist at Daily Maverick, Peter Louis Mayberg. And we woke up this morning. A very good evening to you, Peter. We woke up to incredible piece of journalism. I want to start by saying congratulations and good evening.
Good evening, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, it certainly was a wild ride getting here, I'll tell you that much. But, yeah, it looks like it's certainly having the impact that we hope you have with this kind of work. And let's see where it leads to next.
Let's go to the genesis of the story, because I think that's really, really important. Before we got to this this explosive footage that we saw this morning, let's get to the genesis of the story.
Right, so I've been on the IDT trail for a while now. So, you know, maybe some of your listeners will recall that whole issue around an oxygen plant scandal. That's the whole big 800 million rand thing there that, was mired in controversy and that's now been cancelled. And there's also been a PwC report. In any case, that's where my work kind of started on the IDT in October last year. But after that, I was also urged to look at some other IDT issues, also involving the CEO, Mr. Tebogo Malaka. And while I was kind of progressing with that investigation in early June this year, I was contacted quite suddenly out of the blue by the entity spokesperson, Pasha Makgolane. And he then first set up a meeting between myself and him, and then also he said that the first meeting would be in preparation for another meeting later where Tebogo Malaka would also be present. And all of the communication between myself and Pasha Makgolane right from the start really alerted me to the fact and aroused my suspicions that there was a good chance they were going to make some sort of an offer to me. The language just kind of spoke to that.
And this
was also confirmed in our first meeting. So we then took it upon ourselves to then take that ride effectively, see where it goes, but then be prepared to document such a meeting if it does happen with Ms. Malaka. And then, you know, if she does go through with an intended or alleged bribe, then we'll have that on the record.
Do you remember the very first time they responded to you?
So they contacted me in early June this year. The spokesperson contacted me and invited me to the meeting.
Oh, this is obviously after the publishing of some of your stories already.
By now the oxygen plants, remember, we've been working on this story since October last year on the oxygen plant issue.
Yes.
So by now there's been quite a lot of what they also labeled as negative reporting on the IDT from my side and also some other media outlets. And it was just very clear that, you know, the investigation that I was doing at that point was the one that was causing Ms. Malaka, you know, quite a little a bit of concern. And that's the issue that she wanted to address.
When you started with the reporting around October, did it lead you to her specifically? Or, you know, were you starting to get a sense of who's who in this big, tender, murky water? Or were you quite clear that she is probably central to the tender and other things that were happening at the IDT?
Well, in terms of the oxygen plants contracts, and we just have to kind of be careful and just divorce the kind of separate issues here. So there is that oxygen plant tender, but then also the issue that looks like the one that she wanted to bribe me over is a different contract.
Yes,
It's a different IDT contract. But even with the oxygen plant contract from last year, what the IDT, what the PwC report now confirmed is that, yes, as the accounting officer for the IDT, as the CEO, she is accountable for that because, you know, she signed off on a tender that was flagged as irregular. That's some very concerning shortcomings. Even though these issues with the tender and the contractors that were appointed, even though those issues were pointed out to her, she still persisted and insisted that those contractors get appointed. And that's kind of what the PwC report, but I haven't seen the entire PwC report yet, because it's only the highlights or some of the key elements have been made public.
Yeah.
But as I understand, that's kind of the accountability factor as far as her involvement there is concerned. But with the issue that I'm now pursuing, which we'll publish next week, and which led to this whole bribery issue, some much more compelling and very concerning issues of alleged corruption involving Ms. Malaka and an IDT contractor.
And so this is, I suppose, a third issue, a third contract.
Yes. Hmm. Contract that I've been looking at after the oxygen plants fiasco.
Hmm. I'm curious whether when you were doing some of the work, and obviously you were also working against what the PwC report was saying, had you actually reached out to them around October to say, well, you know, do you have a response to some of these allegations and especially the report itself?
Yeah, well, routinely, yes. Yeah. So with each instance where we publish material, we give the affected parties right for the reply.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the standard protocol.
Yeah.
And also for, you know, for reporting after Sunday's meeting, we also tried to get their comment, but they didn't respond to that. But we definitely routinely reached out to them for their comment.
No, no, I expected that. What I think I wanted to clarify is whether at that time, around October, had they ever responded to you at all?
They did, so as an organization, yes.
Okay.
So Pasha Makhalane provided some responses from the IDT, you know, kind of absolving them of any wrongdoing, that kind of thing. There was kind of formal response from the IDT as an organization coming through Mr. Makhalane.
Peter, we saw what we saw. You're obviously there. Just take us through, you know, what it felt like and what that meeting actually, how it evolved in a way, you know, from you guys sitting down, I don't know, pleasantries and all of that. Would you take us through that?
Yeah, so, you know, first off, I just have to put it out there again. Journalistically, was the most bizarre day of my life, career-wise. And this is definitely not a story that journalists tend to cover, you know, the routine part of their jobs.
Yes.
So, but we had been prepared for, you know, this eventuality. So we had a team in place there on site that clearly, you know, did some of the surveillance for us.
Yes.
And, yeah, the meeting started pretty cordially. There were some nerves on all ends.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind that she's not there with a mindset that she is an awful journalist to make a story go away. So definitely, clearly, I mean, she was nervous. And so was Mr. Makhalane to a degree, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we spoke for a little bit and caught up on some of the things that had transpired in previous months. All the ructions at the IDT, because she'd just been suspended. This is actually another kind of bizarre element to all of this.
Yeah.
On Friday, she gets suspended over the oxygen plant issue, and on Sunday, she's sitting across the table from me with a bunch of money in her spokesperson's pocket that they wanted to give me. And, yeah, so the conversation just kind of gradually got to the issue that they were there for. We spoke about that house investigation that I'm pursuing for next week's expose. And definitely, I think in the larger context, and all the recordings will show that, it does then seem clear that this is a quote type of situation where she wants to pay me to make an issue go away, to encourage me not to write about this issue that I've been looking into. And then finally, yeah, it culminates in a situation where Pasha Makhalane comes back to the table. He was away for a bit. She wanted to discuss some things in private with me, mostly involving the house. And then he returns, and then he produces the money, the 200,000 rand that we put on the video, or showed on the video. And then, yeah, so then I had a look at the money, made sure it was real. I photographed it. Then I handed it back to them, and that's when the game was up. Effectively, I told them, actually, I never intended taking it, and I'm walking away from this meeting.
And was there a verbal response at all?
There was a lot of shock on that side of the table, definitely. If I recall correctly, it is a bit of a blur to me too, to be honest. But I think she just kind of like gasped in shock, and I think she said something to Pasha. But the video does show them getting up from the table then very soon after I leave.
You know, you say it was a very strange day. I imagine the prepping as well was quite strange, plucking cameras in all sorts of places.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of smoke and mirrors. It is a little bit like an intelligence operation. And, you know, and the planning just had to be very solid to make sure that on all fronts, you know, legally, as you can imagine, there was a lot of deliberation with lawyers and attorneys and advocates. We briefed an advocate. We got affidavits in place. Because, you know, obviously we have to very clearly state that the journalist never intended on taking a bribe. That's such a key element to all of it. And thankfully, you know, all of that is in place. There are sworn statements that were done long before the meeting finally happened. So,
you know, Peter, you know, for some it's entertainment, for others it's much bigger. For some of us who've been watching this, these are obviously very serious. And I wonder whether, while as it, you know, for others it's just entertainment and people scroll by very quickly afterwards, for you it's quite real. How afraid were you, or perhaps are you still afraid when you go after these kinds of stories, especially to this magnitude?
I think we should always remain vigilant. We shouldn't be overly comfortable. You know, in South Africa, things have happened to people in this space. So I'll never be, you know, I'll never drop my guard. I mean, it is always a concern, but I mean, that is the work of investigative journalists, I suppose. But then also, definitely, it's entertainment for some, and there are moments of levity here, and there's been a lot of joking about the money and the quantum and everything, but no, unfortunately, this speaks to a gigantic crisis in South Africa. We should all keep on talking about the fact that we have a corruption pandemic and a crisis in this country. The IDT does extremely important work in the social infrastructure place. They're getting entrusted with billions of rands every year to build schools and clinics and things that poor people really need. Individuals like these run these organizations. Obviously, we're going to end up in a very dire place in terms of service delivery and rolling out these projects effectively and without corruption.
You speak of the team that you've had work with you with this particular case. Have you actually opened up a case?
We are consulting with our lawyers about that and what we need to do. It is uncharted territory. So we are still looking at all the various legal implications, etc., and then we'll see what we stand to do. We know now, because of the press release today, the Minister of Public Works, it appears like he will be laying a criminal charge. I'm not going to preempt his actions, but I mean, they released a statement today saying that he'll have a conference tomorrow at the Cape Town police station. So I guess one can put one and one together. So it looks like there might be a case that he'll be bringing against them.
And on your side, you're still weighing up your options?
So we'll just finish our consultations with attorneys, see what the legal position is and what we need to do legally, seeing as we are now kind of actors in the issue, to, instead of just reporting on a corruption issue.
Well, you said you are about to release something else. When is this next story coming out?
It's coming out on Monday.
It's coming out, Really appreciate you talking to us this evening, and I know you must be in the middle of a deadline as well. So thank you very much. And all the best and really fantastic work. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Peter Louis Mayberg is investigative journalist at Daily Maverick.
Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.